Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich, and to my right, as always, is the trusty and incredibly intelligent Chris Vandercook.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good
How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty well today. Got some sleep, can you tell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a good thing as we're going into day three of Challenge 2016.
So there's a opportunity for Department of Hawaiian Homelands. Yeah?
I think the operative word is what you just said, is opportunity.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that this morning. Now, for years, you know that the Department of Hawaiian Homelands has been scraping for money, so much so that the decision of a recent lawsuit ordering the state to comply with its constitutional duty to sufficiently fund DHHL, administrative and operating budget, is now very much looking to be possible. Now, according to the judge in the case, there would be almost $28.5 million needed to do that. This week, Governor Ige moved in that direction, just about doubling his request for DHHL's funding. It's good news, but it still has to be approved by the legislature. And for an overview of where DHHL could go from here, Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation staff attorney Sharla Manley joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
So this is a potential good piece of news for DHHL, though it's not the entire amount, which has been made in smaller conversations around the state. But, you know, you don't want to temper that with the sense that it might not happen. But this is very much still in flux and shouldn't be regarded as a fait accompli.
That's correct. This is definitely a step in the right direction, but there is much more to be done, and it remains to be seen whether the Department of Hawaiian Homelands will get the funds that it needs to provide the services that it must provide.
Is there actual data, or is there documentation of what those needs really are? Has there ever really been a full accounting of what the department needs? How did that $28.5 million amount come to be?
You know, what we did last summer was have an 8-day trial to talk about that and really look at DHHL's needs. And the department came forward with evidence to show why it needs that amount of money to provide just the basic services, keeping the lights on, paper clips, having enough staff to carry out basic tasks. And during that time, and in the time leading up to the trial, the state admitted that it has never determined what DHHL's needs are, and it did not have any basis to refute what DHHL was saying. And so, you know, although people don't want to litigate generally, the beauty of adversarial process like a trial is that it's a full and fair hearing and opportunity to look at the facts. And we feel confident that when the court rendered its decision, it was based on that kind of extensive fact-finding that you get from the litigation process.
We should mention that you'll be back in court, or that this issue will be back in court just in about a week or so.
That's right. There's another hearing scheduled for April 13th, and we will be back before the court to talk about, again, the form of the order and just to provide guidance, I think, to the state in carrying out its responsibility in ensuring that beneficiaries of the Homelands Trust get put back on the land.
People who've been waiting for such a long time, in some cases dying before they actually, you know, had the result that they were hoping for, those stories we hear over and over again, and yet the responsibility, the constitutional responsibility, is one that is, you know, well into our history, I mean, going back almost 100 years. Why do you think it's been so, in a way, neglected that something that you feel is so important hasn't really been on the radar as much as perhaps it should be?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It's something that we ask ourselves. You know, just during the course of this case, two of the men who initially filed the lawsuit passed away over the course of the lawsuit. So they never got to see their day in court. And that's a really common thing you'll hear from people about waiting for relief. I can't understand why, when we have basically as a condition of statehood this promise to put beneficiaries of this trust on the land. And this was really a social contract between the state and Native Hawaiians. And we are committed to ensuring that that contract is met.
Doesn't that go back to the early 20s?
It does. When the act itself was passed in 1921, and the things that Prince Kuhio said about why the act was necessary are as true today as they were back then.
So we just have about a minute more to talk before we have to say goodbye, at least for now. And as you've been offering comments on this case, what would you offer as some line into the future that would make sense both fiscally and morally?
Yeah, our position is that we feel that the court really balanced all of the facts, and we hope to see the court's order complied with, and we sincerely hope that there need be no further lawsuits to ensure that the promise made to Native Hawaiians is kept.
And no further money spent on that part of the process when it could be going into other places.
Absolutely.
Like, yes, getting people where they should be. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Charla Manley is the litigation director and staff attorney with the Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation. She works on Native rights and quiet title cases and was a policy analyst on Native Hawaiian rights at the Office of Hawaiian Affairs.